Welcome to Lakemount Worship Center, connecting you to the life-changing presence of Jesus Christ. We hope that you are blessed and inspired by today's message.
A couple of days ago, we just got back yesterday morning. We were away overnight in Toronto, went away with Tom and Becky, and saw a comedian, a clean comedian, which is a rarity these days, and just really enjoyed ourselves. So we stayed the night and then had breakfast yesterday morning, and our waitress was asking what our New Year's plans were. We're just kind of hanging out, go to church tomorrow. It's like, oh, yeah. And so she was Nigerian background, was talking about how she has to go to church tonight because they have in her Nigerian church a service called Crossover. I love the concept of it, the crossover. From one year to the next, and in the midst of trying to get school done and telling mom all the time, yes, mom, I'm going to church. This is what the pastor's preaching on. She needed to get the crossover service. I got thinking about that image of the crossover. And of course, we know the first time that we see this in Scripture is when the people of Israel, God's chosen people in the Old Testament, were under captivity in Egypt for 430 years, and God raised up a deliverer, and they were set free from that land of oppression, weighed down with blessings, and pointed in the direction of a promised land, but they couldn't get to that promised land for the fact that there was a sea that was blocking them. And so they needed the protection of the Lord behind them, but they needed a pathway ahead of them. And God actually said to Moses, I want you to take the staff that's in your hand, hold it out over the water. And God sent a strong wind over the course of the night and parted the sea so that there was actually dry land that God's people could pass from one side to the other and walk into the land of their promise and their inheritance. And that picture is compelling for us today, because the reality is that what would be possible getting from one side of a sea to the next would only be possible, humanly speaking, after winning a battle and then after constructing dams and bridges and then waiting for the mucky bottom of that sea to eventually dry out, then being able to cross over. What would be humanly possible only after those enormous feats God did overnight by the power of His Holy Spirit. And so there is something that is wise in the heart of a believer and in the heart of a local church to stop as we come to the conclusion of a year. And often, you know, depending on the kind of year that you've had and knowing the kind of years that we've all kind of gone through over the last few, you know, we can kind of just be glad to put another one in the rear view and keep moving forward. But it's wise for us, you know, when we consider the Israelites coming through oppression and think of how much they would want to just forget, not just of this past year, but of 430 years, what they would want to just put behind them and move into the next level of promise. It's wise to pause when God has broken through, even through difficult places, and stop and give Him praise. It's wise for us to stop and give to Him the glory that He deserves for bringing us through yet another year by the power of His Holy Spirit. Not just our strength and our ingenuity and our endurance, but where God has helped us and got us through. And so as I was reflecting on that, it caused for me to look to the next time that we see God's people looking across a body of water. And God did a similar feat in the leadership of Joshua. And I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to go with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 4. And we know that Joshua was the aide of Moses. He learned, kind of ministry and leadership from Moses. We know that Joshua was one who lingered in the presence of the Lord and had a heart after God. And so when he was emerging into his leadership and leading God's people, he found himself in a similar situation where they were stuck at the River Jordan at flood time, and they needed to get to the other side. And so God, you know, sometimes we find ourselves in a similar circumstance where we've had a breakthrough before, but God rarely does the same thing the same way twice. How many have figured that one out, right? Rarely does God work off of formulas, because He's not looking to just get us to figure Him out. He's trying to get us to know Him. He's trying to get us into a relationship with Him. And so Joshua gets to the Jordan River, and God says to Joshua. He says, tell the Levites to take the Ark of the Testimony, the Ark of the presence of God, put it on their shoulders and walk toward this flooded river. And when they got their feet into the river, all of them, when they stepped into the river, that's when the waters began to part. And that's often the way that breakthrough is in our lives. God doesn't often just kind of say, well, here, there's your breakthrough. See it over there? See all that breakthrough? Just go walk in it now. Sometimes we have to step into it when it doesn't look like breakthrough at all. And step in faith and say, Lord, I'm believing. I'm believing as I jump off this diving board, there's going to be water in the pool. I'm believing that as I set my feet in this flooded river, you're going to begin to make a way for me. And there's wisdom in that. And so as they did, the waters parted and the people passed through again on dry ground. Joshua chapter 4, verse 1. And later we're going to celebrate 20 years. I'll just say this. 20 years ago, I didn't need reading glasses, but I probably should have brought some this morning. Joshua 4, verse 1. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe among the people, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests stood, and to carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe. And he said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. I love the image, if you can see it in your mind's eye, of a nation of people passing through a river that is supernaturally being parted. Not coincidence, but God's hand over the waters, parting it as the presence of the Lord tangibly in that generation sits in the middle of what was blocking them. God steps into the middle of their mess and makes a way. And I love the picture of God saying to the people, I want you to get one person from each tribe, 12 tribes, get one person from each tribe, and go into the midst of where it would have been impossible for you to grab a stone. Grab something heavy from an impossible place. Take that with you and stack it on the other side. So that people go, what's this pile of rocks for? And you say, that's when God broke through for us. That's where God broke through. 12 stones, 12 tribes. Not stretching it too far to point your attention to the fact that every year has 12 months. And to take a rock of remembrance, stack it up and say, this is where the Lord has broken through for us. In the middle of the miracle, bring a memorial with you. In the middle of that impossible place, bring a memorial with you. Stack it on the other side and point to it. Why? Because the altar needs to be rebuilt. I've had this tumbling around in my spirit over just the last couple of days. Sometimes, you know, you're leaning in, you're pressing, you're praying. Sometimes it feels like the Lord is just kind of knocking on your door saying, I need you to hear this. And over the last couple of days, I've just felt the Lord just knocking on my heart saying, the altar needs to be rebuilt. And the altar being a place, as we see here, a place of memorial, a place that causes for us to stop and remember where God has brought us through. The altar needs to be rebuilt. Not just the private altars of our lives, although that's very important that you have a personal prayer life and a personal place where you go and you meet with God. But the altar of memorial that is for the house of God and for the people of God, that the place of encounter is acknowledged and rebuilt, that we need to have a place where we say, this is where I meet with God. This is where God has met with me. The altar of memorial, the altar of sacrifice, the altar of testimony. the altar where we align ourselves with the will and the purpose of God, even as we navigate our own feelings and emotions through the ups and downs and the highs and lows of our life. Altars are important, and as we leave 2022 behind, I think it's important that we crown the year with testimony of the faithfulness of God. I think it's important not just for ourselves. I think it's important, as we see in Joshua chapter 4, it's important for the kids that are coming after us, for the next generation. It's important in our time of prayer this morning. Someone was reading from Psalm 165 about let us proclaim the power of the Lord from one generation to the next. There's something about declaring what God has done in this generation that says to the next generation, where He met me, He can meet you. It's important at memorial moments to stop and acknowledge the goodness of God. There seems to be a tendency in the human condition, when you watch the news, very rarely is there something just amazing that's randomly there. Just here's something really cool that's happening and we just wanted you to know. The news tends to focus on the hard parts, the difficulties, the things that are challenging, crime, all that kind of stuff. That's what tends to grab our attention. People don't rubberneck as they're driving down the highway going, look at how good that guy's driving. Slow down. Look at how good he's doing. But we rubberneck when somebody does something wrong, when there's an accident, when there's a fender bender. And go, look at that idiot. And then we drive into the person in front of us. When we're not guarded, we tend to obsess over, if 10 good things were said to you and one negative thing was said to you, we tend to think about the negative one. And so it's important at memorial junctures of life to build a place to point and call our attention to. We're not talking about all of the suffering all of the time. We acknowledge it. We acknowledge those years of slavery. We acknowledge those years of oppression. We acknowledge the difficulty. We acknowledge those places where for years it felt like there was no answered prayer. But where we call our attention is the memorial of where God broke through. The memorial of where God answered, where God met us. It's important that we tell what is on our lips to the next generation. It's important that we tell the next generation where God has met us and where He's answered our prayer. Because it starts to build faith that God is not some remote, distant, removed being, but He's right here, right now, listening and invested in us. And so the altar needs to be rebuilt and pulling stones of remembrance from the depths of where God has met us is important. And so we're going to have a couple of testimonies that we're going to share here this morning. I'm going to ask for Catherine and for Abby, Catherine Villasolas and Abby Clattenburg, to come and join me here on the platform. Would you welcome them as they come? Oh, you each get microphones. Nice. Yeah. And we're going to sing a trio this morning. No, just kidding. Catherine's like, we are? We'll do that kid song that we get. Yeah. Tanto, tanto, tanto. Anyway, inside joke. So I want to talk about some of the breakthroughs of God in our church family this past year. And so you both are standing here as testimonies, just physical testimonies, as you stand here before us because of some journey of pain that had been going on. And both of you had very similar. So Both experienced a concussion and post-concussion syndrome. When did your concussion occur and how long did you experience symptoms?
I had symptoms for almost 4 years.
4 years. Mm-hmm. And yours, Abby, was?
2.5 years.
2.5 years. And so, Catherine, describe what for you would have been maybe a typical day with post-concussion syndrome. What was that like?
So I had pain in my head and my body 24/7. And I suffered from insomnia and just an inability to maintain like endurance for activities in day-to-day life.
Okay. And Abby, for you, what would have been like one of your worst days, what would that have felt like? What would that have experienced been?
One of my worst days would have been just a complex migraine, which was pretty common in the journey, which meant that usually I couldn't see out of one of my eyes. I couldn't feel certain limbs of my body. I was in a lot of pain, and I was very dizzy.
Okay. So with these type of symptoms going on, when you start to feel, just kind of revisiting that before we get to the testimony part, but I think it's important so we know where we're stacking the stones. So when you start to feel maybe a little bit better one day, and then you press yourself, what would happen, Catherine, when if you had kind of like, you know what, I'm feeling good today, I'm going to try some stuff?
I would crash.
Okay.
I would do something maybe one day, I'd just save up my energy, come to one event, and then I would be out of commission for like a week.
Okay.
At a time.
Yeah. And I know the same thing happened. Spoiler alert, in case you don't know, Abby's also my daughter. So I know the same thing would happen for you, Abby. And so what would that be like when you'd feel like, okay, I'm feeling like, because we're a praying house, we're praying people, maybe my healing is beginning. Maybe I'm feeling better. So I'm going to press through. And then you find that kind of relapse into symptoms. What did that feel like spiritually, emotionally for you?
It was just very disappointing. It'd feel really challenging emotionally because you'd feel the victory of having a better day. And then when that all crashes, it can feel very lonely and anxious when you try again, because there's usually like the repeat of those better feeling days. So then you try again, but you feel anxious it's going to happen, and then it does. So it kind of just felt like a swirling disappointment, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So for those who have experienced post-concussion syndrome, then you understand that sometimes what compounds to the physical symptom is the emotional anxiety of, is this going to be a better day? And then those, you know, peaks and valleys of, hey, it was a good day. Oh, this is a horrible week as a result of that good day. And so it's kind of one step forward, three steps back. So the two of you decided in 2022 that with these symptoms, these highs and lows, these challenges, that you were going to get onto a plane and come with a bunch of crazy loud Lake Mount people to the Dominican Republic to serve with our ministry partners there, Dave and Jean, and Pastor David Beard, Casa de Vivimiento, and helping with the villages. If you've not been to the Dominican Republic, a worship service is, when it's put through the sound system, I think there's a belief that perhaps we're not using the sound system to its full capacity unless you crank it and then take the knob off of it and throw it away. And so it's loud and hot and bumpy ride, especially when we're going to some of the outer regions. And so you both were a part of that ministry trip. Describe what was happening as it pertains to post-concussion syndrome over the course of the week. We'll start with you, Catherine. What was happening over the course of that week with
symptoms? Well, it was early on. So I think we traveled on the Saturday, and so we were up all night traveling, and we went to church the next day, and during that service, I was already having symptoms, and I felt like, what did I do?
Right. Okay.
Yes.
And so similar for you. And then as the week progressed, as we were serving and going on, what did you begin to notice, Abby, in your body?
Well, like you said, the worship services are just so loud that I couldn't even hear noise. It was just like vibrations in my eardrums. It was so loud. But I noticed that as my symptoms were escalating throughout the services, that they'd start simmering back down. To a place where I actually never had to leave a service, and I never had to leave an activity because of my post-concussion syndrome.
Wow. And so you both started to notice, wait a second, I'm not reacting to the heat, to the travel, to the noise, and started to share with each other.
Just that. Yeah. That's all that could be said.
I don't want to steal the punchline, but you're like, I think I'm on the flip side of this post-concussion syndrome. Yeah. Go ahead.
So the healing started the Sunday morning at Pastor
David Beard's church.
Yes, his church. And I actually felt to pray for Abby. So I was getting my symptoms. And I was like, well, Abby's got to feel terrible because I was counting the minutes. Like, I knew I had like a 5-minute window. So I was like, I'm just going to make the most of these 5 minutes. And I'm like, if I'm feeling bad, she's got to feel bad. And so I just started praying for her. And then Pastor David got up. He's like, there's a spirit. I feel like the Holy Spirit's moving and wants to heal. And I'm thinking, he's going to heal Abby. Like, because I had that impression to pray. And I was like, yes, like this is what I'm feeling. So I just thought that, he had us just pray for the room. And then that's when I started to feel like a release of the pain in my head.
Wow.
And then, so I wasn't even asked. Yeah. But it was from that point on that we just got better and better and better.
Wow.
Because we went to that service that night that was like
even louder,
off the charts.
Yes.
And everyone else on the team, pretty much everyone else on the team talked about having ringing in their ears, and neither of us had it.
Wow. And so that healing has continued, like it began that week and has continued to be progressive where there hasn't been some of those same symptoms, the needing to, you know, kind of block the world out when it's migraine, all that stuff, ringing, all that stuff. Abby's put in-ear monitors in and helped lead worship here again. It's been progressive and amazing. And so it's just amazing to see how the Lord is still at work when we say yes, even in the midst of difficulty and adversity, how God meets us in the midst of that. So before we move on from this, if anyone is here and you have post-concussion syndrome and you're not too embarrassed to admit it, would you just raise your hand? You're just dealing with that there at the back. Just go ahead, just raise your hand good and high. Yeah, right here. Okay. Okay, we got a few hands. Yeah, all around the room. Okay. So this is the beautiful thing, is that if God can do it for you, he can do it for them. And so we just want to grab a hold of this moment, and we're going to pray. So Abby, would you just lead in prayer for people that are experiencing post-concussion syndrome? And if you saw someone lift up their hand and you're able to, would you just put your hand on them? And we're just going to go to prayer, just knowing some of this journey, knowing what it was like to be on the other side of that river, feeling kind of stuck over there, and then God began to part the way. We pulled a stone of remembrance out. We're stacking it up here to say, if he did it for Abby, if he did it for Catherine, he can do it for you. So we're just going to pray. Let's just join our faith together.
Lord, I just thank you for your healing power.
Yes, God.
I just thank you that healing is available because you paid for our healing. Lord, I just recall my own testimony and the healing that you've brought to me in my life when I didn't think that was even something that was going to happen anymore. Lord, I just thank you that you're faithful to complete healing and a good work within us when we have faith, even when it's as small as a mustard seed. And so, Lord, I just thank you for every person in here that has post-concussion syndrome right now. Lord, I pray that your hand would rest upon them. Lord, I pray that every symptom would just be lifted off in the name of Jesus, that everything that isn't right within the brain or anything that's just structured improperly, Lord, I thank you that you can restructure everything into order the way that you designed. So, Lord, I just pray that you would bring order to every brain and every body in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Yeah, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you both for sharing that with us. Thank you. All right, and I'm going to ask for Heather Bennett Chamberlain to come join me here on the platform. Let's hear it for Heather BC. And Heather has been helping us. Heather, for those of you who don't know, is on staff with us and oversees our connections and has been intrinsically involved in helping oversee Alpha. And Alpha has just been really fruitful this past year, some really cool testimonies. So Heather, tell us what the Lord's been doing through Alpha this past year.
Good morning, everyone. I'm really excited to tell you what God has done through Alpha. If you don't know what Alpha is, it's an 11-week discipleship program that takes place all over the world. It's in 112 different languages and many more countries than that. And we're excited to be doing it here at Lakemount as well. It's a course that goes through the basics of Christian faith, like who is God and how can I have faith and does God heal today, which we are so thankful that yes, he does. This past year, we had over 50 people go through our Alpha course from beginning to end, which is so exciting. We've seen so many transformed lives. There are people healed from anxiety. There are people that really finally understood what the love that Jesus has for them. There is those who are filled with the Holy Spirit for the very first time. Amazing. And got to experience his powerful presence.
Praise God.
So many testimonies of people when they left Alpha being completely different than when they began. From being Christian, just in name only, like it's a tradition. This is just what I do, but not who I am. And finding out that God loves me, that I can choose to live with him and invite him into every decision that I make, and seeing powerful lives just turned around and healed and forgiven and growing. It's so amazing. We're so thankful for what God has done. There is such an amazing feeling of community at Alpha. There's like these beautiful, unexpected friendships, like a 55-year-old woman and an 18-year-old guy just hanging out and having fun and learning about Jesus and being vulnerable and watching Jesus transform each other's lives as they look at the big questions of life. So I would encourage you, if you yourself or you have a friend or a coworker or a family member that is curious about Jesus, that wants to know more what this Christian deal is, that to bring them to Alpha. We begin again in February. It's a super safe place to ask questions, to be curious. No question is too out there or too simple. There's people willing to listen and love and grow with you. It's a really great place to be. And if you're interested in helping with Alpha, we'd love to have your help. We're looking for people who can pray, especially for people who are the gift of hospitality that just wants to welcome and love on people. So just please send me an email, heather@lakemount.ca, and we'd love to plug in.
Awesome.
There you go.
Thank you, Heather.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So again, if you're unsure, just know that at Alpha, people that might come with a completely different religion or totally different worldview who are simply curious, it's an even conversation where it's not as though we're saying everything is equal, but it's a respectful dialogue where you can say what you think, have your questions, objections, all of that. And sometimes that's a major part of the evangelistic work that happens, is people sometimes feel like it's bad to say this thing out loud. They say it, and it's not met with, well, don't say that. But there's a way of walking through questions. And so we have found Alpha to be incredibly great at foundational discipleship, for sure. But ultimately, as a great evangelistic tool of people who just need to know Jesus. And so, honestly, we would just love to see Alpha packed this year. So thank you, Heather, for leading that and doing such a great job there. All right, we've got a couple of more testimonies that are going to happen on the screen. So I'm going to ask you to direct your attention there.
My name is Emma Dushime. I was born and raised in East Africa, Burundi. Burundi is in the heart of Africa, quite literally, and shaped like a heart. One of the smallest countries in the world, but one of the most beautiful. My birth parents passed away from HIV at the time, was a big epidemic. The fact that I did not receive the virus or did not have any traces of it was a miracle to the doctors, because there was no medication for it at the time. I got adopted into, honestly, I would say, a gift from God, a family that loved me unconditionally. I believed I would not actually live past 21. I don't know when, at what point I started believing that. I just didn't think I deserved a long life. You know, struggled with alcohol and sometimes a bit of drugs. I was always aware that God had something for me. I think I was more running away from it. When I was 17, my country was going through some rough political conflict, and my father had a sense that things were not gonna get better. So he decided to send me and my sister outside into exile. We packed our things up, put them in a car, and a driver drove us across the border. The morning after, we got the news that my father passed away. And that was probably the most earth-shattering thing that's ever happened to me. My father was everything to me. Okay. Yeah, so we... What happened with him passing was that God also made me realize that to some extent, I had replaced him with my father. When he passed, I felt like my whole world fell apart. And I had to be reminded that God is the one who sustains us, and he's the one who actually is the one who sees us through life and takes care of us and provides for us. I got to know God on such a more intimate and, yeah, more intimate level. I would encourage everyone to have a relationship with him, because he wants to have a relationship with you. And it's so much more than you can imagine. Whatever you think a relationship with God looks like, there's so much more to it, so much more. Life is worth living when God is your Heavenly Father.
My name is Jacob Graves, and this is my story. For me, my story starts pretty young. When I was about 12 years old, I first started smoking cigarettes. It wasn't long after that until I was just into various other drugs, drinking, stealing, lying, cheating, seeking anything that would give me pleasure and anything that I thought that I could get away with. Early on in high school, I started seeking harder drugs, and by the time I was about 18, I had various charges, and I was already starting to spend time in jail, ultimately. When I was 18, I also started working for a gentleman, another bricklayer. He would invite us to church. He would invite us out. He insisted on praying for meals, and it was something I never really understood. I had two kids by the time I was 22, in and out of jail, using drugs and alcohol like it was nobody's business. And that was the first time that I had overdosed. And even that wasn't enough to stop me. I had gotten arrested, and the gentleman that I was working for, he would come all the way to Hamilton every single Wednesday, and he would just pray for me and go through the Word every week. He was there, he had his Bible, and he was just sharing what he thought that God was going to do with me and how he was being used. He wouldn't give up, and I wanted absolutely nothing to do with it. The last time that I drank, it was July 31st, 2016. And I'll never forget it, because as I was driving drunk, there was a 72 Chevelle on the left and a Hyundai Santa Fe on the right. I was driving my big Dodge. And as I came to in the blackout, I tried to hit the brakes and I physically could not lift my foot off of the gas pedal, and everything got heavy, and I just barreled right in between everybody at this red light, and I ended up in the ditch, got out of the truck, and I looked across the street, and this family of five outside the Hyundai Santa Fe was just screaming. And as they pulled the car seat out, I thought that was it. Got arrested that day. I remember sitting in the jail cell, trying to figure out what I'm doing in my life. Everything that I touched broke. Every time I'd walk across a bridge, I'd consider jumping. I remember getting out of jail that time, and going home and trying to have a shower. And I just couldn't even stand up. Couldn't figure out what I was doing. And I just got down and I just had to completely surrender everything. And there's no explanation from myself that I didn't go right into the rear end of either vehicle. A passenger mirror was missing and a driver's side mirror was missing. That day, and hanging on the mailbox, there was actually a pamphlet for Alpha at a local church in the area. And I didn't hesitate. I got involved. I ended up at Lake Mount, and just watching the sermons online and the way that everything is portrayed through the Bible is the truth and God is truth, and just the love that comes out from being here and acceptance. And now I'm able to reach out when I need help, and I don't need to hold things to myself. I recognize that I'm not defined by my past. I'm defined by who God says I am, what other people say. It doesn't matter. I'm a child of God. I can go through trauma, but I don't have to be traumatized. I can't just shut the door on my past. My past is, it's there as a tool to help other people.
Come on, isn't that amazing? God's so good. In a moment, right? That turning moment of being able to drive through those two vehicles and just recognizing God's grace and God's hand in that moment. And I think there's something for that in this room today, that God's got grace that he wants to extend to your life, that is not too late, that he has a plan and a purpose. And maybe you have a child who isn't serving God. Maybe you have someone in your family who's far away from the Lord. But today we're going to pray and agree for that, as well as to Emma's testimony. But you don't know where somebody's come from, right? And what happens when we stop and find out about each person's story, and that God can use any sort of trauma to bring him glory, right? To turn that story around and bring him victory.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you would like more information on who we are, visit our website at lakemount.ca or download our app for your mobile device.